We're in Romans chapter 3. And the last thing that we read together was we were looking at the doctor's diagnosis. Remember, we had gone to the doctor and we looked at the doctor's diagnosis. The final thing that the doctor had to say to us was, the great physician, there is no fear of God before their eyes. People are living like there is no God anymore. They're just doing what they want to do, where they want to do it, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. And they're just, that's the way it is. They're saying they're acting like there's no God. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, someone talked to me after the service last week. They said, man, I really feel condemned. You really beat us this time. I hate it when people tell me that, because whenever I read you the Bible, it's not me beating you. There's nobody beating you at all, to tell you the truth. What's happening is your own heart is going, yeah, that's yuck. So I'll wear a sign that says, I'm lovable, just so you remember. I'm such a nice person. But don't worry, because we didn't finish the chapter yet. Now we're going to talk about what God has done about the fact that all of us are in trouble. All have sinned and gone astray. All we like sheep, Isaiah tells us. But there's good news in this, and the good news has nothing to do with all of us. The good news has to do with what God has accomplished. And that's what we see now as we continue on in the chapter. That's why you want to go through your Bible verse by verse, but you want to do the whole thing. Now, we are limited on Fridays and Sundays and Mondays and holy days of obligation. We're limited. We can only cover a little piece at a time. But remember, you're free at any moment to cover the rest on your own. Don't just let me leave you hanging there. You read your Bible. Now, look what it goes on to say. Now, we know, after we see all of us are sinners, and that there is none righteous, no, not one, and there is none that seeks after God, and that they're living like there's no God, now we read, now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So he says, we know this. The law speaks to those that are under the law. To be under the law means to be submitted unto it. Under the law, he says, the law says to them that we're all guilty. That's to stop every mouth. Now, to stop every mouth means, in our language, to silence everyone, to shut up those mouths, and so that no one can argue their own defense. God has said none is good, no, not one. The law has proven it to you, and so it closes your mouth. You can't say, oh yeah, but I'm good. No, no, the truth is it stops all the mouths. Every one of us recognizes deep inside, I am in trouble. Isaiah sees God, and what does he say right away? Woe is me. I am the one in trouble. I'm a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among people of unclean lips. So the law and all the world, the law shows, all the world becomes guilty before God. Now the whole world means, in our language, the whole world. Everyone, all of mankind is included. Now therefore, verse 20, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you take a look at the law. The law, you read the law. You can read the Ten Commandments. That's not the only law, but most people think of the Ten Commandments. And you see right away that it's a heart issue. And we're all in trouble. We have all gone astray. And we have broken the law, the commandments of God. And we see some people trying to keep the law. They're trying to keep the law. And if they keep the law and they go to church on a certain day and they eat a certain thing and they're trying to keep some kind of law, he says this, therefore, by the deeds of the law, or by doing the law, no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God. Now that may not make sense to you unless you understand what justified means. A lot of people are trying to keep the law, even today. You gotta be good. You gotta do exactly everything it says. And if you don't, you're in trouble. And so they're trying to keep the law. The law cannot justify you. Meaning, You and I are born into sin. We are sinners by birth through our father Adam. Adam and Eve sinned, and they were, at that point, they began to die. Their nature was fallen and separated from God. We are all the children of Adam and Eve, and so therefore we're sinners. But some people keep trying to keep certain rules, thinking it's going to make them better. No, no one shall be justified by doing the law. What does justified mean? Justified literally means to be declared completely righteous. To be justified means to be declared completely righteous. Not just forgiven, but put in a position where it never happened. Am I making sense to you? When we say I'm justified, we're saying God looks at me as if I have never sinned. It's not that you sinned and it's gone and your sin is cleansed now. It's not like you've done your time in prison and you've been set free, but still on your record forever is that time you did in prison for the crime you committed, which will always be on your record. So you come out of prison if you're a child molester. Everywhere you go, you have to register with somebody. And see, even though you've paid for the crime, it's still there. That's not justification. Justification is the word, it means just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. You can keep the law the rest of your life. That will never put you in a position of being justified. Does that make sense? And a lot of people are trying to say, that puts me in a good position. No, you still were born a sinner, and sin separates from God, and sin must be paid for. And so no matter who you are, you're a sinner. And if you start being good by the time you're 20, or by the time you're 40, or by the time you're 60, you don't understand. You can keep that law all you want. It will not justify. Justification is a simple, not just forgiveness, but being viewed as you had never committed the crime itself. Not just complete forgiveness, but just as if I'd never sinned, justified. And so we read, the law can't do that. You know, you take a look, the law is really in God's Word. You open God's Word and we're told it's like a mirror. Isn't that true? It's like looking in a mirror. You start reading the Word of God and you see what you look like. And you think, oh my goodness, I'm reading this and I'm a mess. Well, how many of you take a mirror and look to see what's on your face? You go, oh my goodness, there's dirt on my face. How many of you take the mirror and scrub your face with it? You don't. The law can't do it. That mirror is not going to clean you up. You're going to need some soap and water. You're going to need something else. The law isn't going to justify you and can't. No flesh is justified by the law. For by the law, verse 20, is the knowledge of sin. You know, the law condemns. It doesn't justify. And Romans 7:7 says, what shall we say then? Paul says in Romans 7. Is the law sin? And then he goes, perish the thought. God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law, he says. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. See, in your heart you knew you were doing something wrong. The law just condemns. It shows you what that wrong is. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's good. And he says, I wouldn't even know. The law taught me what I was doing wrong. The law condemns. The law doesn't justify at all. Interesting thought. But now that you see no flesh is justified by the law, now the righteousness, verse 21, of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Here's an interesting statement. He says, the law, no flesh shall be justified by keeping and doing the law. Because justification is more than just being forgiven. It is being placed in a position of righteousness. Completely holy. He says, but now that you know the law can't accomplish it, now, here's a sharp contrast, here's a great division. Now, I'll read it, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That means now, apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been shown or been made known, been manifested. There's a righteousness that you could have from God, but it is apart from or outside or away from or not to do with the law. Now that you know the law can't justify, now that you know that no flesh will be justified, how can you get into a position of justification? How can you get into a position of complete forgiveness and complete righteousness? Well, the Bible says, apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been made known. God has made a way for righteousness for all of us, for all of mankind. But it is apart from the law, and it is witnessed to or witnessed by the law and the prophets. Or in our language, we would say the Old Testament, the word of the Lord, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. They have already prophesied and told about the coming of who? The coming of Messiah, the Prince, who would take away the sins of the world. He would be the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God. He would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. He will come and he will be pierced and he will shed his blood. He will be slain for the sins of the world. A righteousness has been revealed or been made known from God himself apart from the law. Because if we are counting on the law, we're in deep trouble. The law condemns. It doesn't justify. No flesh is justified by the law. Look at the people today who still continue to try to keep that law when you can't do it. And the law is never, ever going to justify you. You could try and keep the law, but it's too late. You were born a sinner. Original sin, as some people would call it. From Adam and Eve, our parents themselves, all we like sheep, all are under the same curse. The soul that sins, it shall die. You were born separated from God, and you were born with no hope, but God, in his mercy, made a way, a righteousness from God has been made known. And the Old Testament even bears that out, prophesies, speaks about it. You can read about Messiah and the promise and the forgiveness offered in God's Word in the Old Testament. Even, he says, now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is made known or manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, by the Old Testament itself. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, no difference. Anyone who believes can be saved. A righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, 28 and 29. The people who listened to Jesus, they said, man, you're from God. We know it's you. And so we have a question for you. They said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus, we see the miracles. We know you're directly from God. We know that you've got the answers. Tell us what to do that we might do what God wants us to do. We want to do the works of God. Tell us what to do. Because see, mankind, men and women and children, all alike, we're something inside tells us we're bad and we should do something about it. And so what should we do? What does Jesus answer? This is the work of God. Jesus answered unto them, this is the work of God. You want to do the work of God? That you believe on him whom he has sent. What should we do that we could do the works of God? Jesus says, believe on the Messiah. That's the work that you want to do. That's the only work involved in being justified. That's the only thing you can do is simply believe. Now, listen to James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God? You do very well. The demons also believe, and they go a step further. They tremble. You believe that there is one God. Good, you're doing great. The demons also believe, and they shake, and they're scared of him, and they're afraid. They tremble. That means some people believe with their head only. Oh yeah, there's a God. I know Jesus is the way. But they never give their lives to Jesus. Why do you come to church? Because you're supposed to? Because because it's Sunday or Monday or Friday, because my husband goes there. And I just kind of go with him. I mean, if my husband stayed home, I'd stay home. If my wife stayed home, I'd stay home. And the kids like it. And if the kids didn't like it, we'd just stay home and watch football and do a doubleheader, right? Why do you even come to church? You got to ask yourself a question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the living God, God in human flesh? You say, I believe. All right, so do the demons. But they can't come to heaven. They tremble. What is faith then? Well, let me read you the verse. Even the righteousness which is of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Unto everyone, unto all of them that believe. For there is no difference. Jew nor Greek, Jew, Gentile, no, there's no difference. Anyone can be saved. What do they have to do? Believe. What does believe mean? Well, if you walked in here and you and I started a little conversation, you go, I've never been here before. This is kind of a nice place. And you go, hey, I like these chairs. Yeah, they're kind of nice. I like the color, the texture. They look really comfortable. I believe that chair would hold me up. So far, you've done nothing and there's no real faith involved. I say, fine, put all your weight on it. Sit on that chair. You say, oh, no, I would just say, I'm not sure it can hold me. I believe those chairs can hold me. But when faith is active, you put all your weight on that chair. You sit down, and if it collapses, it couldn't hold you. And if it holds you up. Now, see, that's how simple faith is. You, those of you who come and visit, or who, those of you who come and sit down, you don't worry about that chair holding you. Why? Because you got such simple faith, you just thump yourself down there. Jesus Christ is the only way, the righteousness of God. There's justification only in Jesus. But you have to put, metaphorically speaking, all your weight on Him. Do you believe? You say, yeah. What are you doing about it then? Is it causing something in your life? I see people, they come to church, but they're there because they're supposed to be. Or they're there because somebody makes them show up. Or they're there because, well, this is what I do. I mean, our family just does it. But there's nothing real. They're not putting their weight on Jesus. They're just showing up. What are you doing in your life? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Have you turned your life over? That's what the word means when you say believe, to have faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to have faith. That means you're going to place all your hopes, all your cares, all your weight, everything you own, everything you have, everything you ever planned to be, everything you've ever dreamed. You now turn it all over to Him and say, you come into my heart, come into my life, and you take my life and use me for your glory. Whatever you say, wherever you want me, however it is to be with me, that's what I ask of you. Your will be done. I am yours. Now you're putting all your weight, all your hope, all your trust. Now you're really in Jesus Christ. You open your heart and say, take my life and let it be something for your glory. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the tiny babies, they're sinners. Oh, but they're so innocent. There is none good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, this is where we come in and we start playing one of our favorite games. This is usually a church game, not really a secular game, but it's more of a church game. And we call it Jumping to Hawaii. It's a fun game anybody of any age can play. Doesn't matter how old you are, we can play Jumping to Hawaii. Well, our church can do it. We can get a bus or a couple of buses, drive over to Seattle, right? Get near the edge, or Oregon, whatever you like, or California, whatever you choose. We'll drive there, and we'll all stand on the shore. Now, from there, you can't see Hawaii, true? Most of you. But we're going to play the game. We're going to jump to Hawaii. So now, everybody, and the rules are simple. The only way to win is to land on Hawaii. And so everybody, you jump. Now, the rules, everything's fair. You can get a 1 mile running start. That's fine. Or if you're a real sprinter, you can back up 100 yards and you can sprint. But when you hit the water, you have to now jump to Hawaii. And if you don't hit Hawaii, you lose. It's a fun game. And the church usually are the ones that play it. Some of you are playing it faithfully, but you never really looked at it like jumping to Hawaii. That sounds stupid. And some of you say this, hey, I jumped further than you did. So what? You probably did. You just say, I'm not perfect, but I'm sure doing better, and I'm a little further than so-and-so over there. Yeah, well, I'm proud of you. Matter of fact, I'm doing better than most of the church. I got a large jump out there. I mean, I really got. So what? You still lose. The way to win the game is you got to land on Hawaii. You know, it may be true that you've jumped farther than others. You're really being good. You got to jump out there, and you're way on out there. But so what? Those of you that are trying to get to heaven by being good and saying, you know, I'm not really a lot, but I can see so-and-so. They're not as spiritual as me. I don't think they read their Bible as much. I like to be around those who there are the holy. And I sort of like to be around them. All you're saying is, I have jumped further than some of these people. And the answer is, so what? You didn't hit Hawaii, you lose. You may be better than me. You may have jumped 3 times further than me. But all of us have come short of Hawaii. And the rules are, the only ones that win has to land on Hawaii. And some of you are really thinking, I've grown a little bit. I've come a long way. And I only want to be around. There are certain people that just really don't want to walk on that highway to heaven. None can go up there but the pure in heart. You know, those. Yeah, well, you may be right. You may have out-jumped them. They probably would look at you and go, yep, you jumped further than me, man. I'm embarrassed. My jump just barely got me wet. You're soaking, dude. But you didn't hit Hawaii. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You lose. Without being justified, without the righteousness of God, you lose. I lose. Oh, we may be doing better than many others, but if that's what you're counting on, your jump, well, you didn't make it. You lost. And that's what he says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, if you're still one of those who thinks, I really like so-and-so. She really has a heart for God. He really just has a good walk. How about so-and-so? I don't think so. They just got some problems. I mean, I'm not condemning them. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I've jumped a little further than them. That's all. It's no biggie. Hey, you see the next verse for all of you long jumpers? Who really are doing real good and keeping the law and being good. Do you see the next verse says, you're justified freely. Justified means you are given a righteousness that means, justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Not just forgiven, but God looks at me and you as if you are absolutely perfectly clean, white as snow, and you are righteous in the sight of God. But notice how you got it. Notice how I got it. Freely. Literally in our language, freely means without a cause. I have been justified without a cause. Or that's the literal translation of freely. It means without a cause. In our language, we would say for no reason. No good reason. I have been justified for no good reason. How? By God's grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ. That's where life is. You have been justified without a cause. For no good reason that you can think of, God said, I want to give you not only complete forgiveness, but total pardon. Just as if you have never been a sinner and never sinned. His grace only. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. God looked down on you and me, and we're doing our jump to Hawaii game. And I mean, some of us are out there far, but we can't hit Hawaii. We've come short of that. And God looks at us and says, you've sinned. Nice jump, Bob, but it'll never justify you. You'll never get there. So for no good reason, without a cause, except God's reasons himself, without a cause, I will give you complete pardon, complete justification by the redemption or through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. If you will just turn to me through my Son, put all your trust, all your weight on me, I will, without cause, freely give you justification. Redemption means a price that is paid. We're told that we are bought with a price. It also means a ransom payment. God says, the soul that sins shall die. Judgment and suffering. The wages of sin, we're going to learn later on, are death. Wages, that's something that we have earned. Because we're born into this life, we're sinners. And the payment for being a sinner is death and suffering and separation from God forever. But God, in His grace, freely says, I will give you pardon, I will give you life. Forgiveness and total pardon and life. If you'll just turn to me through my Son Jesus Christ. He will pay the ransom price. He will purchase you. He will pay the redemption price. And the price that Jesus paid on the cross at Calvary was to shed His blood, to suffer for those sins. Without the shedding of blood, we learn in the Old Testament, there is no remission of sins. Blood must be shed. God showed us that in Genesis chapter 3. You may not think about it, but when Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with those leaves, God said, I reject the work of your hands. There is none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Anything you try to do to cover up is just a cover up, and it won't work. So God made them clothing of animal skins. Where do you think the animal skins came from? Animals? And you think those animals said, oh yeah, I'll just take this right off and hand it to you. Adam can have this. No, you see, those animals had to die so those skins could be taken. And God is showing us all the way, blood must be shed or sins cannot be forgiven. The price to be paid for a righteous God is the shedding of blood. And so God came to earth in human flesh and went to the cross at Calvary, living a sinless life. And He paid the price. Any man or any woman who died, the price would not be enough. It took the blood of the living God who shed His blood there at Calvary. And so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Propitiation means to satisfy or to appease. Jesus Christ became the satisfaction. The price needs to be paid. Jesus paid it. It was paid in full. God accepted that full payment. And now anyone who chooses can turn to the living God through Jesus Christ our Lord and be saved. No matter how lousy of a jumper they are in your eyes and in mine, they don't have to jump anymore. It is without cause. It is freely given. Every one of them. They may have stolen, they may have murdered, they may have cheated, they may have come short of all of your expectations and mine, but they are freely given pardon, forgiveness. They are justified. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is accounted their righteousness, and they are looked upon as God looks upon you, if you're born again, as if you have never sinned. You are completely righteous in His eyes, or He couldn't look upon you. And the only way you got that way was freely, by God's grace, through the faith that you placed in Jesus to save your life. Of course, then God declares His righteousness. Verse 26, Paul repeats it, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness to declare. That means, in our language, to demonstrate. Does that make sense? To demonstrate, right now at this time, his righteousness. God is demonstrating to you his righteousness, his love, his work, his concern, and of course, his justice. By allowing Jesus to pay the price. By Jesus raising from the dead, that sacrifice was offered and it was acceptable. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Jesus is alive. Now you can have life by turning to the living God in Jesus Christ and giving your life. Belief means turning yourself completely over. All your weight on the Lord. Everything you are, everything you have. Nothing held back. On Jesus Christ. And God demonstrates his righteousness to us this way. He shows you that he cares by saying, freely, I'll give you life, pardon, righteousness that's in my son, Jesus. Of course, then he says this, question, where is the boasting then? How could you brag, any of us? How could we ever sit and say, well, I've jumped a little further than so-and-so, so I'm doing all right. You know, I was young, and I wasn't very much as a younger Christian, but, you know, I've kind of grown. I've come a long way, and I'm qualified, and I'm sincere. And well, where is the boasting then when you stop and say, wait a minute, all of us are soaking wet. We didn't make it to Hawaii. We come short. And the reason that I'm saved isn't because I read my Bible so much. Isn't because I study. Isn't because I work at church. Isn't because I'm doing so well. It's not because, you know, at home I have all these special study books, or I read these biographies, or I read the history, or I really study the original Hebrew, or I really study the original. I am really, what a leap I have made. No, no, no. There is no boasting. Where is the boasting then? There's none. That's what he talks about. It's excluded. To be excluded means, listen, to be completely shut out. All bragging or boasting on our part is completely shut out. There's nothing to brag about. When you stand in heaven and someone asks how you got there, you're not going to say, dude, I jumped all the way. No, you're going to say, Jesus died for me. The Son of the living God gave his life that I might live. And that's it was his grace, freely. His grace, his mercy, his justice was served, and he has freely given me life. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith, simply placing, did you do good? Have you really done well? Are you doing better all the time? Nope. There is none good, no, not one. See, it's by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we conclude a man is justified. Remember, justified, never sinned. He's justified by faith without or apart from any of the works of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of also the Gentiles? Yes. The Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. No, we establish the law. See, the law really is established. Galatians 3:24 says, the law, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You start to read the Bible, and the Bible's going to show you that you've come far short of the glory of God. The Bible, the law, is going to begin to reveal to you you're in deep trouble and there's no hope for you. And then God's going to come along and say, but read this. There is hope in Jesus Christ, the one way for salvation. Are we doing away with the law? No. The law itself is a schoolmaster that shows us. We begin to learn. I'm in trouble. The law condemns. Faith, grace, justifies. So now, we read our Bibles, and we walk with God. Why? Because he loved us and gave himself for us. Not because we're trying to make a further jump. Not because we think we're actually going to get there to that from this shore to that, but because we have been freely given life. And then 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. That's why we love him. That's why we love one another, because of the grace and the love and the mercy shown to each one of us. We need to thank him for the free gift that we've been given. And we need to get down off this really high horse that makes us feel our jumps are out in front of the others. No, it's freely. There's no boasting involved. We're grateful that Jesus Christ saved us. God is now our Father because of Jesus Christ, his Son, if you're born again.